Well, Fusion, good evening. So good to be with you guys tonight. My name is Bo. I'm the Generations Pastor here at CA. It's such a joy for me to get to be with you guys tonight. I just want to say, if you're here, you either really, really, really love Jesus or really, really don't care about baseball. Maybe both, but thanks for being here. Glad to be getting to share a few moments with you guys tonight. A couple quick things I just want to make note of. One, in addition to Blythe coming to the cafe, which we're so excited about, Flip House is also going to be there. And they are going to, they let us know a couple weeks ago, they're going to be donating a portion of their proceeds from what's purchased tonight to Dressember. So please go and do some good simply by having a meal and being with us tonight. The other quick thing that I wanted to mention, a few weeks ago we had Kids Church Weekend here at CA, and we had all the kids leading during worship. Such a great evening together. One of the things that was talked about during that time was just the need for people in Fusion to step up and start leading in Kids Church. And they said that there's a 32, I think, vacancies. They need 32 people to step up and join serving teams in Kids Church. After that weekend, there wasn't a whole lot of response to that, so there's still a great need going on with our kids. And I just want to say, whether you have kids or not, if you are a part of Fusion, those are our kids. We are responsible for them. They belong to this community. And so I want to just encourage us as a community, can we rally around these kids and begin to lead in Kids Church? One thing that I'm going to do personally is I'm joining the Fusion Kids Church team. So once, I think every 2 months, I'm not going to be in service. And a few other of our CLPs are going to do this as well. We're not going to be in service because we're going to be over there in Kids Church working with our kids. I feel like this is a Jerry Maguire moment where I'm like, who's coming with me, you guys? Who's going to join me over there? So I just wanted to make you aware that every now and then you won't see some of the pastors in the room, but that's because we're going to be over there in Kids Church working with our kiddos. Great. Moving on. So excited to continue in our series, The Vow. This is our marriage and relationship series. Tom did such an unbelievable job kicking it off for us last week. Tom, every time he speaks to us, it is just such a gift to our community. Hope you were here. If you weren't here for week one, I really want to encourage you to join or to look online and listen to that sermon. As was stated last week, this is a marriage and relationship series, but it is not just for married people. Yes, if you are married, our hope is that this series would strengthen your marriage. But if you are not yet married, this is a great series for you to learn some great, tangible, practical ways to help yourself have a healthy marriage someday. If you are single and you do not plan on being married, this is a great series for you to learn how you can better rally around your married friends in your community, how you can come alongside those who are married, be the God-centered community that married couples desperately need around them. I love this series, man. This series is just making me so filled with faith to believe. I'm just reminded as I'm thinking about this series that God wants us to have strong and healthy marriages. It doesn't mean that God wants us to have perfect marriages because it involves two very imperfect people, but God wants us to have great, strong marriages. I also just want to recognize that when it comes to the topic of marriage, I know that there are some broken hearts in this room when it comes to that topic. There are some marriages that either are not going the way that you hoped they would, or they already went the way that you hoped they wouldn't, and it has already come to an end. I just want to speak very quickly to you, if that's you, and say that I believe that your story is not done. I believe that God still has a plan for you. He still has good for you. He redeems what is broken. He redeems what seems lost. He brings hope to what seems hopeless. The author and the finisher of your faith is not done with your story yet. So even if you feel brokenhearted when it comes to marriage and relationship, lean into this series because we're believing God is going to speak to you. Tonight, we are talking about the second vow of this series, which is the vow of pursuit. The vow of pursuit. Now, when talking about pursuit, what we typically talk about is this idea of going after something we want, but we have not yet achieved. Something that we want, that we're going after, that we haven't yet achieved. So for some of you in this room, you are pursuing a college degree. You want a college degree someday. You're losing. Yeah, absolutely. Some of you are losing faith to think that's ever going to be possible. I'm here to speak faith to you tonight. You can do this thing. You're pursuing this degree. You don't have it yet, but you're going after it. Then you're going to get that degree, and you're going to start pursuing a job. And you're going to say, why did I pursue that degree when it has nothing to do with this other job that I'm going after? It's just how part of it. It's just how it works. Right now, currently, as we speak, the Los Angeles Dodgers are pursuing another World Series title. They're going after it. They haven't achieved it yet, but we have faith in this place for them, you guys. We think about pursuit in terms of going after something that we want and we have not yet achieved. Well, tonight we're going to talk about how strong marriages, they begin and are sustained through pursuit. Would you pray with me? Jesus, we thank you so much for tonight. Lord, I pray that your word would speak to us. We invite you into this place, Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that we would all hear a message of hope. We would all have great faith and expectation to believe that you are going to do something great in all of our lives tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you were with us last week, we talked about vow number one. We're going to put up on the screen. It's in your bulletin. It says this: I promise that God will be my first priority and my spouse will be my second. It says, God is my number one and my spouse will be number two in my life. And even if you aren't married, you can still make this vow today. You can decide today as a single person to make God your number one priority. In fact, I would highly, highly recommend that you do this, because the truth is you will never wake up someday and just happen to have become the kind of spouse that you hope to be. You decide now the kind of spouse you want to be, and you make decisions today as a single person to pursue God with everything that you have, so that someday you can say with integrity, God is my number one and my spouse is my number two. Our second vow is the vow of pursuit. And it says this: I promise to always pursue my two. I promise to always pursue my two. In Genesis chapter 2, as we see the first wedding ceremony, we see God instituting a marriage for humanity. It says this: that is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. It says a man, he leaves his parents. For all of his life, it has always gone God, hopefully, as his priority, and then the family that he comes from, mom and dad, that family. But now, at this moment of marriage, the relationships are reorganized, reprioritized, and now it is God number one, wife, spouse number two, and family and all else slide down the list. In this verse, the word united here, it's this Hebrew word, davak. And it means to cling to or adhere, to catch by pursuit, to pursue with affection and devotion. To cling to or to adhere, to catch by pursuit or to pursue with affection and devotion. I love the imagery of this word. I love the picture that it paints. You guys ever seen a video of a lion who decides to pursue something that it wants to kill and eat? Right? It puts its head down and it just gets after it. And it just pursues this thing that it desires. It's like that, except instead of pursuing a gazelle to eat, it's pursuing another lion that it wants to marry and make its wife. I'm glad that worked. I wasn't sure how that was going to fly. Thanks for being with me on that fusion. I was like, should I? No, that's stupid. Bo, don't. Okay, let's go for it. Okay. So Genesis, it tells us that a man, a person, leaves their family and is united to his wife. A woman is united to her husband. But it doesn't just mean clinging to. It also means to pursue in a continuing sense. You see, for marriage to work the way that God intended, there must be a continual pursuit that takes place beyond the wedding day. There's a story from the Bible in Genesis 29 that I think paints a beautiful picture of pursuit. And in it, there is this man named Jacob. And Jacob is not married, and he sees this woman named Rachel. And when he sees Rachel, if you've seen The Godfather, you'll understand this reference, he is struck by the lightning bolt, okay? He falls for this girl. He is sprung on Rachel. He instantly gets on his phone and unfollows all of his exes on Instagram. He's like, you're dead to me. His theme song for her has now become Wife You Up, okay? He is going to pursue Rachel. He's done. And then he does what any man should do. He goes to her father and he says, I want to marry your daughter. And her dad, this guy named Laban, he says, okay, great, you can marry her, but here's the deal. You got to work 7 years for me before you can marry her. And Jacob says, she is worth it. I will work for her. So he goes to work. And in Genesis 29, verse 20, it says, so Jacob served 7 years to marry Rachel, but they seemed like only a few days to him because of his love for her. At the end of that 7 years, it's time for the wedding. It's time for it to take place. Only Laban decides to pull a quick one on Jacob. And instead of marrying Jacob to his daughter, Rachel, he decides to marry Jacob to his oldest daughter, Leah. Now, when the Bible's talking about these two sisters, when it talks about Rachel, it says that Rachel was beautiful in form and appearance. Rachel had it going on. Leah, it says, had weak eyes. Leah needed some glasses, you guys. Turns out, Jacob also could have used some glasses. Because he doesn't even realize he's marrying the wrong woman. The wedding happens. The wedding night happens, you feel me? And he wakes up the next morning and rolls over and sees Leah laying next to him. And in the wise words of Job Bluth, he says, I've made a huge mistake. So he gets up and he goes to Laban and he's like, bro, what happened? Like, I worked all of these years to marry Rachel. And Laban plays innocent. And he's like, listen, it wouldn't be right for me to marry my youngest daughter before my oldest. But here's what I'll do for you. Work another 7 years for me and then you can marry Rachel as well. And Jacob says, yes, she is worth it. I will work another 7 years for her. Now, here's what's interesting about this story. Usually when I think about this story, I tend to think of it as he works 7 years, marries the wrong woman, works another 7 years, and then marries Rachel. But that's not how it happened. The Bible tells us that he marries Rachel in that moment on the spot there and then works another 7 years for her. You see, Jacob worked for Rachel after he had already married her. Rachel, she was worth working 7 years for. And then once he had already married her, she was worth working another 7 years for in order to keep. So often we work so hard in our marriages to pursue and to win this person that we hope to marry. But the issue is once we marry this person, the pursuit has a tendency to stop. But men, that woman that you married, she is still worth the pursuit. Amen. Women, that man who you married, he is still worth the pursuit. Remember, to be united, it means to be joined together, but it also means to pursue and to chase with great affection. If you are united to your spouse, that means you are continuing to pursue them with great pursuit and with great affection. If you're married, how did you pursue your spouse when you were dating? I think back to when Blake and I were dating. It was in college. We met while at school together. And I think about how I would pursue her. And one of my favorite ways to pursue her was to show up where she wasn't expecting me and just kind of surprise her. And it was most often in the library because that's where she would be doing her work. And I wouldn't be there because, well, I'm me, right? It's not my speed. But I'm like, Blake's in the library. I just wanted to be around her. So I would show up. I would surprise her. I would distract her. I would ask her if I could use her study guide for that test that I hadn't studied for yet. Like a good girlfriend, she would usually give it to me sometimes. I took her on lots of dates. We went to Disneyland all the time together. It was a very special place for us as we fell in love. I listened to her when she talked about her life and her family, and where she came from in North Carolina. Listen, just a word to any of the guys in the room, whether you're married or not, this is important for you. Listening is a great way to pursue a woman. It is a great way to pursue a woman. In fact, there is a... Thanks, babe. Love you. I hear you. I'm listening. There is a phrase that I want to give you that is worth its weight in gold to you. And it is this phrase here. Tell me more about that. Amen. Ladies, am I right? Well, to be talking to a woman that you are pursuing, a girlfriend or your fiance or your spouse, to listen and then to say, tell me more about that. And then to also continue to listen after you ask that question, she will feel pursued by you. But here's the thing for Blake and myself. 7 years into our marriage, and now 2 children later, it's easy to kind of let the pursuit stop with each other. I could find myself thinking things like, well, we're already married. We already closed the door on divorce. That's never even going to be an option for us. I'm not going anywhere. She's not going anywhere. We have these kids who we love so much, but they are so needy and demand so much attention. We'll just deal with all of this, and maybe we'll get back to pursuing each other later. But the way that I pursued her when we were dating, it can and still should happen today. I can still show up when she's not expecting me and surprise her. I can still take her on dates to Disneyland. I have to pay a babysitter now to do it, but that's fine. I can still listen to her when she tells me about her day and about her family and about her heart. And I can still say, tell me more about that when she's speaking to me. And really quick, to those who are not married but are dating in this room, if the person that you are dating right now is not pursuing you well, I would just really strongly recommend that you reconsider whether or not this is somebody that you actually want to continue to date. Ladies, if he doesn't actually date you, like if he doesn't take you on dates, if his primary form of communication with you is over text message or DMing you, if he doesn't make you feel special, honored, valued, and loved, that's not somebody who is pursuing you well. And it is absurd to think that he's suddenly going to start pursuing you someday if you get married. Men, if she doesn't make you feel special and honored and loved and respected, if she isn't going the extra mile for you now, she's probably not just going to start out of the blue someday if you get married. Healthy pursuit in marriage begins with healthy pursuit in dating. Expect it. Demand it. If you settle in dating, you are going to be very disappointed in marriage. So don't settle as you date. And for those who are married, continue the pursuit. Just because there is a ring on it does not mean that it is time to go on cruise control. So let's talk about a couple of ways that we can practically pursue our spouse. Three principles from God's word that are going to help us in the pursuit of our spouse. Number one, if the grass looks greener somewhere else, it's time to water your own lawn. It is time to water your own lawn. Proverbs chapter 5, man, this book that is just so rich with wisdom. It says this, let your wife be a fountain of blessing for you. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. Notice it doesn't say rejoice in your young wife. Rejoice while your spouse is still young. No, it says rejoice in that one. That person you said I do to way back then, rejoice in them still today. Fusion, anybody who is married in this room can attest. It's really easy to rejoice in your spouse when you're first married. You haven't had time to do a whole lot of damage in the relationship yet. You're young, or at least you were younger than you are today. And things just seem great. But time passes, and we grow, and we change. We don't look the same way that we did back then. We don't necessarily think the same way that we did back then. And if you aren't careful, you can suddenly find yourself very dissatisfied in your marriage and dissatisfied with who you're married to. And you can catch yourself wishing they were more like they were when you first married them. But Proverbs tells us to rejoice in that same person who you said, I do too, way back then. Rejoice in them today. And so if you find yourself thinking, I wish my spouse was more like they were back then, or I wish they were more like so-and-so. I wish he was a spiritual leader like so-and-so. I wish he would act more like so-and-so. That is a huge warning light to you that it is time to pay attention to your own lawn. It is time to water your own grass. It is time to begin pursuing your own spouse again. But here's what I love. That excitement and that joy that you felt back on your wedding day, that can be yours again. But it takes work and it takes sticking in it and not bailing on it. Studies will say this, that of surveyed couples who said they were unhappy in their marriage and with who they are married to, okay, of all those people who said they are unhappy, 2/3 of them said that if they stuck it out for 5 years, they found that they were happy again in their marriage. To stick it out for 5 years, 2/3 of those couples said, I am happy again in my marriage. Which means if you are unhappy in your marriage today, there is still hope for you. Your marriage does not have to be over. It is not beyond healing. It is not beyond reconciliation. It is not beyond hope. If you will stick it out, if you will work at it, if you will pursue your spouse again, happiness is available to you in your marriage. If you're struggling in this area, if the grass is seeming greener in other places for you, remind yourself, do the hard work of reminding yourself why you said I do to that person way back then. You knew how to pursue her once. You knew how to pursue him once. What did that look like? Where did you go? What did you do for them to pursue them? Show romance again. Show some affection again. Be intentional again. And here's what you'll find. Hearts soften and walls come down. Laughter returns to the home. Trust is rebuilt again. And suddenly, your own lawn, it looks pretty good. It's the greenest grass for you. So water your own lawn. Remind yourself how you once pursued your spouse and find out how they want to be pursued today. Number two, every time you think something good about your spouse, say it. Every time you think something good about your spouse, say it. This is so important for me because when I think about my wife, Blake, I am so grateful for Blake. I love her so much. I know in my heart how thankful for Blake I am. I know in my heart how much I love her. But here's the thing, Blake can't see inside my heart. I didn't marry a mind reader. She doesn't know what's in there if I don't say it to her. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13 says this, encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. If you want to keep sin's deceitfulness out of your marriage and out of your dating relationship, try practicing daily encouragement and affirmation of your spouse. Women, your husband wants to know, do you believe in me? Am I doing a good job? Don't tell him what he's not, because trust me, he already knows. Yes, you need to communicate your needs to him, and he needs to communicate his needs to you. But if you find yourself communicating more about his failures than his successes, sin's deceitfulness is going to creep in to your marriage. So instead of saying, I wish you were a better spiritual leader for me and for our family, try telling him, when you take me to church, when you pray for me, when you pray over my family, you are never more attractive to me than in that moment when you step up as a leader. Speak words of life to each other. No one was ever criticized into a better marriage. Men, your wife wants to know, do you love me today? Do you still love me? And it's not just saying, I love you, which is good to do, but telling her why you love her. When you're encouraging somebody, when you're speaking good to somebody about them, using specifics is always such a benefit in the conversation. I can say to Blake, I love you, which is a good thing to say. But I can also say, I love the way you take care of our family. I love how funny you are. I love the way you make our house a home. I love your unbelievable amount of knowledge about Harry Potter and how you answer questions for me I didn't even know I was asking. Don't be stingy with your encouragement to your spouse. And this is true for all of us. Whether you're married or not, tell the people that you love why you love them. Be generous with your encouragement. So water your own lawn. Say the good things that you think about your spouse. And number three, every time you think of something special, do it. Every time you think of something special, do it. James chapter 4, verse 17 says this, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. It is sin for them. Now, in the context of this verse, it is talking about something bigger than just marriage. But the principle from this verse, it so applies to your marriage and to your dating relationships. Do the good things that you know to do. What special things do you know that you could do that will make your spouse feel pursued? As often as I can, I like to try to do special things for Blake. And here's what I find. I'm able to do them as often as I make them happen. As often as I make them happen, I'm able to do these things. I'll find a babysitter. I'll go through our list of everybody that we have watch our kids. I'll say, hey, are you available? Are you available? Are you available? I'll find a babysitter. Then I'll say to Blake, hey, I'm taking you out tonight. And an evening, out of the house, away from the kids that we love so much, but they're such little tyrants sometimes. Just an evening, just the two of us out, man, it does so much for our marriage. But it can be simple daily things as well. I try to let Blake know that I'm pursuing her every morning when I make her a cup of coffee just the way that I know she likes it to be made. I pursue her when I come home from work, and maybe I've had a long day, but I know she's had an even longer day. And so I jump in and I help get dinner ready. And then when dinner's over, without being asked to, without her implying, I jump in there and I try to take care of the dishes and I get them knocked out because it communicates to her, I'm pursuing you right now, and I do not think that taking care of this house is solely your responsibility. I am united to you in this, and so I'm gonna pull my weight around here. You can pursue your two in big, yeah, clap for dishes, that's fine. You can pursue your two in big, extravagant ways, and you can pursue your two in daily ways that communicates how special they are to you. One way that you can pursue your two is in our six-week class that was announced earlier, The Meaning of Marriage. This is a book that Blake and I, our life group, is reading and going through together. It's a phenomenal book with so much wisdom in there. It's on Monday nights, beginning tomorrow night, starting at 7 p.m., meeting on the north side of the street. Childcare is going to be provided there. Listen, if your marriage is in a tough spot, I can't recommend this class enough to you. In fact, let me just say this to any men in the room, whether you are married or if you are engaged or if you are dating, I just want to say, she will feel so pursued if you come to her and you say, listen, I want to take you to this class. Will you come with me to this class so we can read this book so we can strengthen our marriage or our relationship that we are in? Women, of course, if you want to go, lead the way in that. But men, I am telling you, she will feel so pursued if you take some initiative and say, I want to strengthen what we have. Will you come to this class with me? Well, in this series, The Vow, we have the gift of getting to hear from various couples within the Christian Assembly community who have some history in their marriage and who have great practical things for us as a community. So tonight, I'm so excited. We have the joy of hearing from two of my friends, Lewis and Carol Lee. Will you welcome the Lees up here, you guys? Come stand up here. No, yeah. Welcome, guys. All right, well, I really want to hear from them. So, Lewis, we're going to start with you. Will you just first of all tell us a little bit about your marriage? How long have you been married? Do you have any children? And then talk about how did you guys pursue each other before marriage? And then how did you continue to pursue each other after marriage?
Sure. We've been married for 21 years. And we have 4 children. And so while we were dating, in my pursuit to win her over, you know, I would try to impress her. I would try to do, you know, things that would woo her. And I had this great idea about, you know, I can really impress her and show her how cultured I am. So I scrape up whatever money I had, and I bought a season ticket to the Los Angeles Opera. And, you know.
We didn't go back after that season.
Yeah, it worked so well that we never been back to the opera again. But it's that desire, you know, to go after her. And like you said, you know, during our 21 years of marriage, you know, I really made it intentional to carve out times where I can spend with her. Mm. You know, sometimes it's just half an hour or an hour when the kids are asleep, and we would run out, sneak out, and go play tennis, you know. But lately, we've been trying to, you know, we're kind of old, so we need our exercise. And so we've been doing a lot of cycling together. And that's been great because we're able to get the exercise that we need. And, you know, it's just a time for us to bond and to be with each other. She's faster rider than me, so I'm always literally pursuing her because...
Carol?
When we were dating... one of the ways I pursued him was to write letters to his parents in Chinese. I was not very good in it, but I made the attempt to show his parents that I like their son a lot and that I had their approval. When we were married, one of the other things that I pursued him was to make the decision. We made the decision together jointly, but I wanted to pursue him by saying, I am willing to stay home with our 4 children. And so that way I would be giving him the affirmation that I trust him, that he is watching out for us, and I leave it up to him to deal with the world outside of the house. Another way is that I clear his schedule to make sure he is here at church for men's gathering, men's group, men's retreat, huddle, times where he is here because the brothers here in this church family really lift him up, and then I benefit directly from him participating. And then my third way of pursuing him is my feeble attempts at cooking dinner for him. Sometimes it works, and sometimes it doesn't.
That's great. You give it up for Lewis and Carol. Thank you guys so much. So grateful for your wisdom and you sharing from your experience. And I just love you guys. I love your family. I've got to know them over the last couple of years here at CA. There's wisdom there to be gained. So, Fusion, as Alex comes in and joins me and the band comes up here. If the grass looks greener somewhere else, it's time to water your own lawn. Every time you think something good about your spouse, say it. And every time you think of something special, do it. Here's the last thing that I want to say before I turn it over and we close in worship. Marriage is such a gift from God. It is a gift not only because of the person that God brings into your life, but I think it's also a gift from God because marriage is a reflection of the gospel in our lives. The covenant that we make with our spouse at the altar is a reflection of the covenant that was made as Jesus died on that cross and rose again from the grave for you and for me. And as we're thinking about pursuing our spouse, I want to just remind us that the ultimate picture of pursuit that we find is the way that Jesus pursued you and the way that he pursued me. And when I think about how I want to pursue my wife, I remember the ways that Jesus pursued me first. I remember that Jesus pursued me when I was still a sinner, when I was still broken, when I was still flawed, when I was still messed up. He didn't wait for me to be perfect before pursuing me, but he pursued me in my brokenness. I think about that Jesus pursued me as he forgave me of all of the things that I did that went against his will for me. I think about how Jesus, he pursued me by letting me move on from my past. He doesn't always remind me of the things that I did wrong, but instead he lets me move forward. I think about that Jesus pursues me by wanting me to be the person I was created to be. And so when I think about how I want to pursue Blake, and as you're thinking about how you want to pursue your husband, how you want to pursue your wife, how you want to pursue that person that you're dating, think about how Jesus pursued you first. Pursue them in their brokenness while they are still flawed. Do not wait for them to get it all together, because that day will never arrive. Pursue them by forgiving them. Pursue them by letting them move on from their past. Pursue them by wanting them to become the person that they were created to be. And not only that, but I'm so grateful that Jesus' pursuit of me did not stop at the moment that I said, I will trust you. Every single moment, every single second, every single day is an opportunity for me to recognize that Jesus is pursuing me in this moment. He did not stop pursuing me. So you may say, I do at an altar someday, but do not stop pursuing the one that Jesus has brought to you. Would you guys stand with me? We're going to sing about a great love that he has for you. And as we're singing about this love, would you remember that this great love is also for your spouse? It is also for your fiance. It is also for the person that you are dating. And would we seek to love each other and pursue each other the way that Jesus loves and pursues us? Alex, will you lead us?